I believe when she had me, and I remember, in addition to going to church every weekend, we cleaned the church on Tuesday nights. So my sister and I would have our set chores that we had to do within the church. And so our lives really revolved around church, I would say. It did and it didn't, because there really wasn't anything outside of the physical building other than my grandma and her relentless rosary prayers day and night. But yeah, a relatively normal upbringing, I would say, until into my teens.
Was that in Edmonton?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. I met some of your family and your sister. I think you posted something about your sister recently.
Nice. Yeah.
What are some of your fondest or favorite memories from your childhood?
I would say my parents didn't have a lot of money, so we did a lot of inexpensive things. And surprisingly, those were the things I remember. I couldn't really tell you any of the Christmas gifts I got. I think I maybe remember one. It was a bike that I wanted really badly. But most of my memories evolve around going to the park, like going to Horlock Park and have picnics and going on little family vacations. We'd be stuck in my mom's Chevette. If anyone remembers what a Chevette was like, four of us in a Chevette plus luggage, and I don't recommend that to anybody. We would drive to BC, but those were my fondest memories, I would say, as a kid.
All right. How many of you remember what a Chevette looks like? Yeah.
You had one? Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think there's something to be learned there that, what we remember later on in life is time with loved ones.
Yeah.
It was time. Yeah, wow. How would you describe your experience with faith and religion and church before you came to know Christ sort of in a personal way?
I wrote about it a little while ago. I called myself a zombie Catholic. And I guess what I meant
that
by that...
That sounds like a movie title.
Yeah. I guess what I meant by that is not that I knew any better, but I just kind of went through the motions. I just did what you do when it comes to being Catholic and being raised in the church, and you go to church and you sit up and stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down, say 10 Hail Marys and you should be good for the week and hope you don't have any bad thoughts. And if you do, you got to go back to confession. It was very much, I don't know what you call it, like religion, like regimented. That was my only real experience with it. I knew that I had to live my life a certain way and I had to go to confession regularly and hope that I didn't die without confessing major sins on my soul because I wanted to go to heaven. And it was this concept of really never being enough, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I gave up on that pretty quickly because it was impossible to keep up. It just was impossible to keep up. Yeah.
And you know, I think that there are some zombie Pentecostals as well.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I've met some.
Were you looking at somebody?
No. I can't see. There's the light is in my eyes. Can't
yeah,
see.
And the Lord help us to not be zombie whatever,
yes.
You know, but
yes.
to be real.
I agree.
So, yeah. So you still remember some of the prayers? Because I mean, you have to kind of know them by memory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll all come back to me. Anytime I'm in, like, I don't even know where I would be that I would hear them. But they all come back to me. And if I concentrate enough, I can recite them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then going to a Pentecostal church, you must have been kind of like Mr. Bean going to church, but the reverse in that nobody ever stands up. Nobody ever sits down.
Yeah, I remember thinking, I shared this actually with our old pastor's wife. She said, you know, I felt so bad these new people came to our church and I didn't get the chance to shake their hand and I felt awful. And I thought, I hated when people shook my hand when I first came to the church. It was weird to me. I immediately thought, what do you want? Like, you're going to try to brainwash me into something. This is weird. Why are you talking to me? This is weird. And so I think it gave her a different perspective of someone that might be coming from a religious background, whether you are or you're not. You never know what they bring with them through the door. So it doesn't mean that just because to you that was important to them, it could have been a blessing that you didn't make direct eye contact, at least for the first little while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, something for us to remember. What are some of the biggest challenges, hurts, disappointments, hang-ups, regrets you have from your youth or early adulthood?
That's a hard one. I've seen a lot. I've envisioned having a personal resume up one day so people can realize just how not unique we really are. There isn't a lot I haven't seen or experienced, not a lot I haven't done. Pretty much, if you name it, I've done it. What I would say, I think, there's a lot. It's so hard for me to unpack it all. I made a lot of really ugly choices in my early teens, I guess I call it. The guilt of that was painful. There was a lot of drugs involved. I got pregnant when I was 17, and I lost the baby. I was kicked in the stomach and lost the baby. Mm-hmm. And then I, completely wiped everyone from that phase of my life out of my life. I remember meeting someone and them saying to me, I can't even actually repeat what they said to me, but now that I think about it.
Just say a Hail Mary.
I have to remember where I was, just a minute. More or less, they said to me, if you don't straighten your life out, you're going to end up like in a really, really bad spot. And they gave me a visual, and it was enough of a visual that involved stirrup pants, and that's all I really, curlers in my hair or something like this. And so I wiped out, ruthlessly wiped out every single friend I ever had, and started from scratch. I went to college. I went to college as a mature student because I didn't graduate high school. I dropped out. And I learned in college that I was actually a lot smarter than I thought I was because I cared about what it was that I was learning. So then I became a paralegal. I did that for a number of years. And then I kind of fell back into what I would consider like old habits. And I've been praying and asking God what that was all about, why I did that. And I think the answer I got back from God was this desire to fit in. Mm. Was so deep within me. And I think it's common. I think we're all like that to some degree. So I didn't really fit in with the smart kids. I didn't fit in with the nerds because I wasn't that bright. And so I kind of fit somewhere in between, and it ended up landing me with some not so, I don't want to say not so great people, because I was involved with those people too. I was one of those people. But I found myself back in the same crowd. So drugs, partying, strip clubs, like literally you name it, I saw it. And I lived that in a very long 8-year relationship that I tried to get out of. That was incredibly abusive for 8 years. My sister reminded me not long ago, I tried 7 times to leave. And on my 7th time, I left. And every time I went back, because I felt like that person's life was my responsibility, that I was going to fix them. And even in that, I developed some habits for myself. So I knew God. And I don't think it was until that point that I was really ever tested on how deeply I knew God. I would say novenas. So any former Catholics would know what those are. Just say these prayers to certain saints that you have some sort of connection with at some point for a certain amount of time, something magical is supposed to happen. And so I would do that relentlessly, and my life just spiraled out of control until there was nothing left of me at all. Like, I remember saying to my mom, I don't even know what my favorite color is anymore. Mm-hmm. I had nothing left of myself. And some of the habits that I developed back then was I would drink because it would numb what I felt. And it's the only way I could stop what I felt and deal with, like, just deal with the chaos. Yeah, so that was really hard. And I went to therapy for a number of years while I was in that relationship. And I thought when I got out of it, okay, I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I remember saying to God, I'm getting out of the boat. So you better make sure I know how to swim because I'm getting out. Mm. So then I gave it to God and finally was able to leave. That was a miracle in itself. And yeah, and then it wasn't over. And I was super mad at God that it wasn't over. Like, I still was left with a lot of the trauma. I was left with my coping mechanisms that I had developed over 8 years. And yeah, then I met my incredible husband.
I think one of the things that I'd like us to capture is we look at people and they look so normal, but we don't know their story. And we don't have empathy because we don't understand. And even in a church situation, we kind of get this idea somehow that, you know, that we all had perfect lives. None of us did. And, or that when Jesus came into our lives, all those problems were like automatically like gone. And they're not. There's work to be done, and this is where I think both mentorship and discipleship and just Jesus being formed in us takes time And sometimes it's painful, and it hardly ever happens as fast as we wish it did. But yeah, I should remember this. I don't, but for the folks here, tell us, how did you two meet?
We met on eHarmony. Brad is still convinced that we're going to be in a commercial. I'm like, you know how many people get married off eHarmony? We are not that exciting to them. Can I tell them a funny story? My husband loves coupons. I don't love coupons. And he got me on a coupon.
On eHarmony?
Yeah. Because
sweet.
Because he got his eHarmony membership on Groupon or something. And I had to pay full price for my husband. And he got a discount with me. So I think in hindsight, I see that God was just giving him a leg up there because he had a lot to take on when he took me on. But yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good deal for him.
Yes. Yeah. Good deal. There was no refunds, I tell him all the time.
I am pretty sure I officiated one of the first eHarmony weddings in Alberta. Not yours. Somebody else, like years before.
What? Oh,
yeah,
see?
Probably 10 years before. Somebody from the church. So that's how you guys met. All right. Tell me what. At some point, there was a change in your faith, and God became more than somebody just kind of had to like magically say this and do this, and everything would be okay. Like, what attracted you to the winsomeness of Jesus?
I think it was when I was finally like kicked off my horse. So 2 years, I think it was, into Brad and I being married. It might have even been the following year. My mom was diagnosed with cancer. And she's 52. And we were told we would have about 2 to 4 years, 4 years max, for her to live. And I think she died within about 6 to 8 weeks of her diagnosis. It happened really fast. So often when I say to people, oh, my mom passed away from cancer, they think, oh, is this drawn-out process? You had time to say goodbye, blah, blah, blah. We didn't. And the day that she passed away, I was with her in the hospital. It was very traumatic. She wasn't supposed to die that day. It was a very long, drawn-out series of things that I saw that I wish I didn't see. It took her several hours to pass away that day, and the whole thing was just like trauma after trauma after trauma. So I think after that, I went to a Set Free conference, probably actually for surely against my will at the church. Danielle probably peer pressured me into doing it. And I went to it, and I remember there was this one part in Set Free where we watched The Passion. Is that movie?
Yeah.
And there was this part where Jesus was being whipped and beaten, and like, it's so graphic. And I've seen it before, but it didn't hit me like it did that day. And we had to figure out all the people we needed to forgive in our lives and take them to the cross or something and kneel them down or something like that. Well, I realized that day I had to forgive God. And I've said that to a few people and they almost like gasp, like, but God already knows what I'm thinking. So what would the point of making anything other than that up? What would the point of that be? Mm-hmm. So I think that was a pivotal moment for me for sure. I had to forgive him. That was hard. And then I had to decide if I really believe in all this stuff or not. Mm-hmm. Like, if I really am going to believe that this happened. And I remember hearing for the first time in my head, this is real. Like, as I was watching the crucifixion and everything, I remember thinking, like, this is real. This really happened. Like, something told me that in my heart. So then it was kind of like from that moment on, I think I just kicked the door open to my heart, as I say, a tiny little crack, almost out of spite, like challenging God that you're probably not going to show up. But if you do, I'll make myself somewhat available. And then I started showing up to stuff. I was asked to be part of the kids, boys and girls, whatever they called it. And I remember saying to the lady that asked me to volunteer, I only do crafts. I don't read the Bible. I don't pray out loud. I don't give her all my list of all the things I wasn't going to do. So if you just need somebody that's going to do crafts, I'm your girl. Don't talk to me about God. I'm just here to do the crafts. And little did I know that God had to meet me at the same level that he met those little six-year-olds and however old they were. Like, yeah, that's what makes him so cool.
I want you to grasp that all God is asking is that for us to open the door a little bit, just a little bit. And as we have people in our lives who don't yet know Jesus, that's one thing that we can always pray as they are in journey, that God, that they will say, okay, God, even if it's kind of like out of spite, I'm going to do this because he probably won't anyway. And he will take that and make something good out of that. Yeah, so this is when Jesus is becoming to you more real, more than just, you know, somebody on a crucifix or somebody that you just pray hoping that he helps you. Who are some of the people that kind of influence you in your life with Jesus, in following Jesus?
My husband, for sure. He's the reason why we started going back to church. I don't know if I would have went. I don't even actually really remember how that happened, but we started to go. And yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to really describe the way it happened. I think it really happened in over time, like little by little. Danielle's a big part of that for me too. She just spoke into my life over and over and over. And if I would say something that was out of alignment with, not like out of alignment with God, but like out of alignment with what God wanted for me, she would redirect me every time. Like, that's not what God thinks. That's not God's heart. That, and not in a way that's like the Bible says, blah, blah, because that's never going to get anywhere with me ever. Mm-hmm. But just in a really loving, loving way. Like, so many people, the list would be so long. It took so many tiny drops, I would say, from many, many people. Yeah, that's why community is so important.
You hear that? Community is important. And again, I don't understand God's speed and his timing. We all would wish he just like fixed it all. And sometimes he does, miraculously he does. But most times is just people journeying and with other people having an input into their lives. I remember, I don't know, I think if you invited me or I heard via the grapevine, but ended up at your baptism. Mm-hmm. At Sunnyside at the Christian camp. That was such a moving experience. And Pastor Joe, I think, baptized her, and every time I've seen either through your post or when I chat with you or, you know, events like this, I'm always so moved at the good work the Lord is doing in your life. And, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we don't notice the good work that's taking place because it happens sometimes slowly. But we're so thankful for that, and again, the importance of community. How would you describe your faith these days?
It's completely different now. I would say when I was praying about speaking here, I asked God, like, bring back things to my memory about what you want me to talk about and what was really a pivotal moment for me. I think I went from dragging God around to letting him go first and being led. That was a big difference for me. I struggle with that. With anything in life, I genuinely like to be the one in charge.
I'm sure nobody else here struggles with that.
Yeah. So I had to stop dragging him everywhere I wanted to go and ask him to lead me places. Mm-hmm. I hear him now. I went to Hearing God a number of years ago, and I always have to roast Danielle because we're in this group together, and this is years ago, like I said. And I still had a semi-closed heart. And I'm sitting in the same group with her, and part of Hearing God, if you've ever taken it or haven't, it's like you write out, kind of journaling, like, what is God saying to you? And I'm like, nothing. God's saying nothing to me. And Danielle gets up, and she's reading hers. The Lord said, I am a beautiful dandelion aside the still waters of the... I'm like, really, Lord? You give her three paragraphs, and I don't even get one word? So, but now I get that.
You probably get more than her now.
Maybe. Yeah, I hear God now. And I think a lot of what stopped me before was me. It was never God. God could have been speaking to me and probably was the whole time, but I got in my own way. I overthought my own thoughts and thought that can't be God. Until I eventually got used to hearing him. Now I know. Mm-hmm. I think I can discern the difference. My faith is radically different.
You hear that now she realizes God was actually speaking to you, mm-hmm. just like you were just not listening.
Yeah.
And I wonder how often the Lord is doing that to us. And we're like oblivious to it, doing our own thing, busy, you know, serving him and doing this and doing that. I mean, the verse of the day today on the YouVersion of the Bible is from Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live. But the life that I now live, I live in Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I reposted that. And basically that difference is I can live my life in my own power, in my own wits, or I can live my life in and through Christ. That's a big difference, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a huge difference. Even in doing this, I've been praying this whole time, like, this is in borrowed strength, God. This isn't my own strength that I could be up here even speaking, because I would have passed out in the parking lot a long time ago. Same thing with being felt compelled to lead a Bible study at our church. The first Bible study I went to, my arms were folded. I wasn't talking. I was just listening, judging all the people in the room with me. Were you there, Devin? Yeah, so she can attest to that.
There's
so
a lot of stuff to judge about Devin. Yeah.
But I kept showing up. I just kept showing up. And that was my deal. And every time something changed, if I just continued to show up.
So show up. It's a good thing to remember, show up. When life was at its darkest, when you had hit bottom, did you ever imagine you'd have the life you have today?
Mm-mm. Nope. There's one image in particular that comes to mind. I was in my closet. Kind of weird, but I was putting bloody Kleenexes into Ziploc bags and dating them, because my then partner had a very serious drug addiction and convinced me that he didn't. And so I knew that when he did drugs, his nose would bleed from doing so much cocaine. So I had to convince myself that this really was happening. So I remember going through the garbages and pulling out bloody Kleenexes and dating them. And I remember thinking in that moment, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is not your life. I worked in HR, so talk about somebody that could really look like they have it all together. That's why, like, authenticity to me is so important, because it's not that we're so unique. We're really not unique at all, as much as God made us unique and all that kind of stuff. But really, the things that we struggle with were really not that unique. We're just better at hiding it than others. And so I remember thinking that in that moment, like, this is not my life. This isn't my life. And I didn't know what it could look like, because I'd been convinced for so many years that it didn't get any better than this. And if I left, I would be unsafe. My life would be in jeopardy. It just wasn't going to get any better. But something told me in my heart that it could get better. And I think that. Even to look at that picture is, like, unbelievable. How different my life is.
And, you know, the challenge is that people see this and they don't know the story, right? And again, we think, oh, you know, how lucky they've had it. Look at that. Life is perfect. It's not. It's not for any of us, any one of us. But a lot of us are afraid to share, to be authentic. So, Krista, what would you say to someone, maybe, again, here or online, thinking, you know, they feel like giving up on life or faith? What would you say to them?
I would say that I've been there. I got to a point where I would rather not be around than feel what I felt. I tried once. I took too many prescription pills and washed it down with a bottle of wine and woke up in the hospital, and I wasn't successful, which is wonderful. But I often think, like, if God, if only you could have showed me what I know now, like, I wouldn't have wasted so much time. But I think what's shifted the most for me is once I realized that it's not me against myself, that when you believe in God, it's you against the devil, and it's you really have an enemy, you really do. And I've had a hard time wrapping my head around that for many years. I kind of made fun of it even. People would talk about spiritual warfare. I'm like, give me a break. This is dumb. This is just sensationalized Christian weird stuff. And so anytime I say stuff like that, God really corrects me in very not so gentle ways. It is real. And I think once I've realized that, I'm more inclined to fight than to just roll over. And I think I would encourage people to get closer to God. And what does that mean? It means showing up. It means actually showing up. So you have a choice every day if you're going to go back to Instagram and swipe, or you're going to go watch a 2-minute sermon. It's kind of like working out. I hate working out. And I remember saying to myself, you can do 5 minutes. If you just did 5 minutes, that's it. And I always end up going longer than 5 minutes. So if you treated your daily life that way, when you're feeling not so great or confused, go to YouTube, grab a sermon. If you don't like it, go to the next one and the next one and the next one. But it's your choice what you choose to spend your time doing and how you feed yourself. That's how I got closer to God, I would say. If I had the tools to change my mind, I would have changed it already. But clearly, I don't have the tools. I need new information to help me make mm-hmm. different decisions.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Again, I want to go back a little bit to, you know, that when we come to Christ, and sometimes we pastors have done a bad job because we kind of focus on if anyone is in Christ, you know, he's a new creation. All things are gone and God's made it all new. But it takes process to do that. But what are some of the challenges you have encountered after you have said, yes, God, I want to follow Jesus. I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to be what you want me to be. There's still challenges that come our way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were quite a few. Brad and I lost 2 babies while having our daughter, and then in between. In October, a few Octobers ago, I almost lost my life with one of those babies. And I remember Joe and Danielle showed up to the hospital that day, and I thought I just had stomach pains or whatever. And Joe's like, I'm going to come and pray. And he was on the phone with Brad, and I'm like, no, don't. It's just probably gas. I don't need you to come here and pray. It's all good. It's fine. And he came anyways. And I ended up being rushed to emerge to another hospital, and Joe was there with Brad, which was a miracle in itself that Joe and Danielle were both there and praying with Brad and kind of guiding him through what was happening, because I didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what was happening. And I remember saying to Joe, like, what is God's point? Like, have Brad and I not been through enough in our lives? What is your point? And going back to that place of being super angry again and not understanding, like, why does this need to happen? Can we not just get a break? Like, and so, yeah, that has happened. I struggled with, more silently than anything, I struggled with drinking on a daily basis. I don't even know if Brad knows the degree in which I would drink to numb what I felt. I developed that as a coping mechanism for years. So that's what I knew. And it's so socially acceptable. And especially mm-hmm. because in the church, there's so many people that are against it and they don't really know why. So that I'm even more in spite, I will be like, well, I do, just to like, it's what I like to do. Great excitement. And so it was dumb because it was really just hurting me even more. So we dealt with that. Mm-hmm. It's now been, I think, almost 400 days since I've had a drink, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. And all it took was a few words from Joe. Joe was in our house, and that's Danielle's husband. He was at our house, and I was pregnant with our son. And I remember him saying to me, I could randomly, out of the blue, walking past my kitchen table for no reason, I could see you as somebody that just decides never to drink again. And I didn't say anything to him. I just thought, that's stupid. I went back to doing whatever it was that I was doing. And then that night, I started to look on, like, Pinterest. How do you know you have a drinking problem? How do you know you drink too much?
You can find that in Pinterest.
Yeah, you can find anything in Pinterest. How do you know you have an alcohol dependency? How do you know, all these things? And then the more I read about it, the more it was like, the fact that you're looking this up probably means that you have an alcohol dependency. Yeah, so whoever wrote that wrote directly to my spirit. So I knew in that moment, I decided, but the part that makes God so amazing and why I think Christianity is so cool, the forgiveness part is great. I don't struggle with that. It's that I don't have to do this by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have to rely on myself. So I thought, okay, I'm taking away my biggest coping mechanism. I'm going to take it away and rip it off like a Band-Aid. You need to figure the rest out. Because I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose myself, my job, my anything. So you figure it out. And that was it. And he figured it out. And so I have different strategies now.
Yeah. God loves a dare from us that like
right?
that.
Yeah.
He really does.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you to put him on the spot.
Yeah.
And say, God, I can't do this.
But if you help me, I will. But only if you help me. Only if you help me. You know, I think if, I'm sure there's a lot of other folks at the church that you have blessed by being there and your leadership. But if it was only for them, it's worth it. I never forget that. You know, you tell the story of being in the hospital and miscarrying, and you probably know the story of Jody and Scott when, well, first that they had a stillbirth, and Jody nearly lost her life, and then when Jessica was born, you may have heard me at some point talk about I've held a baby under a pound in my hand. My hand's bigger, and it's not a big hand than that. And that was Jessica when she was born, and we have seen how, you know, again, the prayers of the family of faith are so significant. So let's kind of start to wrap this up. But what is the best thing about following Jesus and being loved by him?
I'm trying to say this in a nice way. I guess that I don't have to care what anybody else thinks. That's my favorite thing.
Mm.
I don't struggle
with... That drives some church people crazy, though.
Yeah, it does. Can I share a funny story? It's a little controversial. Maybe not.
Go ahead.
Are you nervous? I wore ripped jeans to church, and one of the well-meaning ushers said to me, "Oh, your knees must be getting cold. You don't have all your pants on." I said, "No, I got all my pants on." And he's like, "Well, they must be freezing cold." I said, "No, I wear these for personal growth." And he's like, "No, you don't need to worry about that." I said, "No, your personal growth, not mine." And then I went to church. And then the little angel on my shoulder is like, "Why do you got to say stuff like that? Why can't you just be peaceful and say, bless your day and, you know, carry on? Why do you got to say stuff?" Because that Jesus doesn't care if I show up in ripped jeans. He cares that I'm there and I have a heart for him. That's what is so important to me, worshiping truth over tradition. It's traditional, and I get that, and I'm not knocking it. I am knocking it, but I mean it like with as
in
much,
a nice way.
With as much love as possible. Jesus sees my heart. That's my favorite part of faith. Mm.
Yeah. You know, I've often said, and we don't have this issue anymore, but back in the day, you know, people would say, "Well, you know, you can't have those teens here wearing their hats on or their toques on or their..." You know, hoods on, and I'm like, I'd rather have them here in church doing that than somewhere else not wearing them.
Yeah.
Because when they're here, God can do something.
Yeah.
So how do you experience the love of God?
It's a hard one for me. It's a hard one. I think in the ways that he shows up. So like today is an example, like almost hyperventilating in the parking lot, thinking, "God, you got to show up for me and keep me calm and help me to speak." And so once this is over, and even while I'm in it, I'm like, "Thank you, God. You do love me. You are with me. Your word is good. I know that I believe your word. It just doesn't always manifest the way I think it should." So that's how I experience it, is every time that I've called him on something and he shows up for me.
It's going back to you got to show up too.
Yes.
And you got to take that step.
Yeah.
Right? You got to take that one step. And going back again to what scripture says, that God will draw near to those who draw near to him. It's really, really important. What are some of the things you're doing in church these days? I know you're involved in some of the lady studies. You know, every post you put up about, "Hey, we're going to be doing this." I wish I could go.
Anytime. Right now I'm on the women's ministry team with Danielle. It feels like I'm not really doing a whole lot because I'm used to also running Bible studies at the same time. So I'll run another study likely in the fall when our season kind of kicks back up. And then that's really all I can think of. I feel like we do a ton. Brad has a small group in our home with a group of men. We serve in the cafe. I don't serve in the cafe anymore because they bake and I don't do baking. So, but Brad serves in the cafe. I think that's really it. Am I missing anything? I wish I was on the worship team, but I get kicked out.
You and I should start our own band.
We should.
A Christian Screamo.
Done.
A band.
I'm in.
All right. Yeah, we have to come up with a cool name though. Maybe CIBC can
endorse.
Know, fund a-
yeah. I love that.
Yeah. All right, good. You guys keep your eyes out for a new list on Spotify.
Anything else you have in your heart to share with us?
I don't think so. I think the only thing that comes to mind is just show up. And showing up might mean different things to different people. But choosing to, when you're in a not so great place, or even when you are in a great place. Remember a pastor saying to me one time, if the only time you fed yourself was on Sunday, you would starve. So I'm not the kind of girl that opens my Bible and sits there and reads it. And I don't. I get devotions that speak to me. I go on my Bible app and I download plans on my Bible app that sound interesting. If the after the first day it's not interesting anymore, I delete the plan and find another one. But choosing, consciously choosing to spend time with God is, I couldn't do life otherwise.
Yeah. So the onus is on you.
Yes, 100%. Right? Yeah.
As much as you have great pastors, great friends, great community,
yeah.
It's still some of it is on you.
Yeah, you have to show up.
Yeah. And you know, we all have phones, right? And most of us either have the app or download the app. If you don't like that app, find another one.
Yeah.
Often I recommend at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the fall, hey, let's do this devotional together. But there are so many. There are so many options and ways for us to feed ourselves. And God takes those devotionals and by the Holy Spirit brings them alive to us to transform us more into a little bit more into being like Jesus.
Yeah, and what he wants to do in your life. Like, there's no shortage of things he wants to do. But I remember Danielle saying that to me. He's a gentle God. So he doesn't just strip everything away all at once. Just little by little, as you show up and spend more time, he'll show you the different things that he wants to work on in your heart and in your life.
Yeah, little by little. Don't grow impatient in the process, folks. Don't throw in the towel because it's taken a long time. And whatever challenges we face in life, keep going back to Jesus. Keep going back to Jesus. Involve more people in your life to help you. Trust God to bring people into your life that will be a blessing. Right? Maybe when they came, I don't remember at that time. How long have you been at the church? Yeah, okay. So you guys would have been newlyweds at that time. And whether you thought, okay, well, oh, God sending these people here, they're going to be a blessing in our lives. That may not have crossed your mind, but he brought them and he's used them. And you're open to receiving that. You think she took a bit of a long time to answer? No. But God has a plan for our lives to make us and transform us into the likeness of Jesus. Our part is to, you keep saying it, show up.
Show up, yeah.
Show up.
And don't be so, God, I feel like convicted me gently one day about this. I was so protective of my story. And I remember one day God said to me, it's my story, not your story.
Ooh.
And so I was like, okay, fine. Well, then if I'm going to share your story, you need to help me. Because I won't be able to get the words out.
You see, the parts of a story that are embarrassing, that we would not tell anyone if they paid us, because they're his story of redeeming our lives. Mm-hmm. When we share them, he gets the glory. You know, Danielle has shared some stuff that many of us, if we had a similar story, would not, because our fear of what people would think. But what you're thinking is, wow, the grace of God. No wonder the psalmist says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not any of his benefits, because there's so many.
Yeah, and if no one shared them, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. I really appreciate you coming and sharing with us. Thank you, folks, for coming. I know we don't have a lot of ongoing connection, but I love and appreciate you guys and all your family as well. And when you said, some people are going to come, I'm like, who's going to come? So it's good to see all of you folks here. You're a big part of our lives. I know it's been a long time, but I'll keep saying that the church in Sherwood Park, I think, will have a great reward in heaven for putting up for quite a few years with three brand new pastors in ministry, and all of us married without kids, and then, thank you for being a blessing in our lives as well. So can I pray for you? Yeah, and Brad, I don't know, Brad, do you want to come down, or if you come up or you want to go down, I'd like to pray for both of you. He's not coming, so I think you're going down. Yeah, just put it there. Yeah. I think my word of encouragement to both of you, and maybe a bit more for you, Brad, is, but I sense the Lord saying is, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. He has good plans. You are seeing them, but he has good plans for you. So just show up. And we pray, folks. Father, I just want to thank you for this couple. Thank you for the work of grace in their lives. When we hear stories like what Brian says, Lord, we can become so overwhelmed and discouraged. But when we hear one life's story, one couple's story, one family story, one church's story, we are delighted to know that you are at work, that you love us, that you care for us, and that in our darkest moments, you are present and drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that our story, it's really your story. Your grace, your love, your mercy, your generosity, and allowing us to redeeming our lives so that we may bring glory and honor to you. No wonder the Apostle Paul says that Jesus is at work in us to present us to his Father as something that he is proud of, because it is his blood and his sacrifice, his death and his resurrection that transforms lives, just like it transformed Krista's life and Brad's life and my life and all of our lives. Lord, I pray that as people have joined us online and shared just this moment with us, I pray that you speak to them. Lord, if there are women that have heard this story and who either have experienced or are experiencing living in abusive relationships or mourning the loss of a baby, being in codependent relationships and all of those things, I pray that you speak to them, Lord, and that they would reach out to someone, first of all to you, but also to another human being that can encourage them, can help them, can offer resources. Thank you again for your wonderful grace. Continue to lead Brad and Krista and their kids in the things that you have for them, for their joy and their pleasure, but even more than that, for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.